So Alabama goes into this game right now as a 24-point favorite. Gary Danielson will be calling the game along with Brad Nessler for CBS. Gary, thank you for taking time to join us. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Good. Well, obviously the number one question I have on my mind, you do get prep time and you get to talk to the coaches. When do you think you'll know who's starting at quarterback for Alabama, or do you already know if Bryce Young will get the call if they go to the backup, Jalen Milroe?
We haven't spoken with the coaches yet. And when we do, that would probably likely be on Friday. That's the normal time that we speak with Coach Saban. We get to speak with both coordinators and two selected players. And I doubt that we will know anything before the game. Usually practice time, if Bryce Young even practices on Thursday, it may be 50-50. They may just be walking him through in case of an emergency or he plays. We might not know until game time, or maybe on Thursday and Friday it becomes clear which direction they're going. At this point, we don't know.
If there is a quarterback change and if Bryce Young doesn't play, how does that impact the game as far as you see?
Well, Bryce is a pretty elite player, and obviously Alabama has a style of play. When you have one of the best passing quarterbacks in college football, at a level of Tua, Joe Burrow, the great passers that have come through this league, you tilt your offense to do what he does well. And I would assume no matter who was the backup quarterback, it would look a little bit different. Jalen has a little different skill set. Obviously, we see that his ability to bring more of a complementary rushing attack to the offense, but that doesn't mean he's not going to throw the ball. No, it just means that it'll be tilted a little bit more, one would assume, to play a game that would look a little bit like maybe a Jalen Hurts offense rather than a Tua or a Mac or a Bryce Young offense.
Gary Danielson, our guest here on WNSP. Gary, thank you so much for joining us. Put your doctor's hat on for a second. What ails Texas A&M? This is not the game we were expecting when we circled this date back in August.
Yeah. Well, it's a difficult league. All of these places, these teams, it's tough to build a team that playing this top-level competition. I've been saying for years that what separates this league, I don't know anything anybody else doesn't know, but the other conferences in college football, there's one or two, maybe two and a half teams that measure up success for a season to being a national championship contender. But in the SEC, there's seven teams that measure their success that way. So it's much like the NFL. You look at these conferences. Everybody's 2-2. 3-1 if you're a breakout. So you have to play a high level of football. Right now, A&M is struggling, I think, to find their passing game. It hasn't clicked for them. The passing game with the quarterbacks and the receivers just hasn't been working to the level needed to play against these teams. Now, I don't know what happened to Appalachian State. Everybody has one of those games. Last week, the last 2 weeks, Georgia struggled against inferior talent. So these kids are 18 to 22. Sometimes they just don't get ready to play, I guess.
CBS sports analyst Gary Danielson. Gary, we've already mentioned two big storylines. One, of course, status of Bryce Young. Mark brought up about A&M faltering. But back in May and in June and July, the narrative, Saban Fisher, will that be a part of the broadcast, do you think? A large part or even a little part of the broadcast, what went on back then?
Well, that's a lot of space, from a little to a lot. I'm sure it won't be a lot. I'm sure it'll be mentioned. There'll probably be clips of it. It's kind of the fun of sports when you have some of this stuff goes on. The fans are interested, and it turns in a few more eyeballs. But for the most part, I think everyone involved, even the players involved, would like it to, you know, step aside for 3.5 or 4 hours. And but after the game, I'm sure, you know, whoever wins will have a few remarks from the locker room to the press about, you know, how this affected them, and they were happy to finish off the game for their coach.
You know,
either way it goes.
Yeah, you sit there. You mentioned about comments to the media. Nick's been real kind of short fuse this week. Obviously, preparing for the inevitable. You all are going to blow this team out. The whole rat poison thing. He's been short this week. As you prepare for your broadcast, do you make it a point to watch these guys' pressers every day?
I don't.
Yeah.
Gary Danielson joining us. Okay. Borrowing that. That's pretty short. Gary, you had a great game last year. That Alabama-Texas A&M game was one of the great games during the season. I mean, coming down to the wire. For that to happen this year, Mark asked you about A&M. Where do they need to fix? What do they need to do to keep in this game?
So it's interesting. I mean, they're not going to be able to bring their fan base, you know, and playing at A&M is a pretty good place, tough place to play. And, you know, once the crowd gets going and they grab energy, I really think one of the big problems for A&M is they don't have that tight end attack. Jaden Weidermeyer was a 3-year senior and a really good player that Alabama had to be aware of on every play, and he opened up the game. Now they don't have Anaya Smith, one of their dual threat, you know, veteran players that is a really good football player. You know, they just don't seem to have they have some young weapons at wide receiver, but they're still figuring out, just like Alabama's young receivers are just now emerging for them in their offense. A&M's young receivers are just learning the system of, you know, being a high school player and running out 12, 15 yards or running a post. Your athletic ability can take over, but these young receivers have to learn hots and breakoffs and adjustments to patterns, and it does not appear that this A&M team has the level of passing attack anywhere near where they were a year ago at A&M. So, yeah, it's not going to be easy for them. Nobody thought it would be easy last year, but, you know, Zach Calzada comes in, has an unbelievably great throwing game. They catch a hot quarterback and kept this Alabama team off balance the whole game. It'd be nice for somebody to do that for A&M if you're an A&M fan, but so far they have not shown that. And one more thing is, this is an extremely gifted Alabama secondary. I mean, this is as good as I've seen, you know, as good as many teams. They're playing at a very high level at all across the board. They've got a middle linebacker that can get their defense set properly. They got edge rushers. I mean, it's hard to find a weakness. And usually, if you're playing Alabama, you have to have a game-breaking or a difference-maker at wide receiver that really stresses their corners. They so far, you know, they haven't seen that type of player. You know, we think back to a Mike Evans that you could play man-to-man coverage, but, you know, 50-50 ball becomes a 70-30 ball in his favor. So, you know, that's really, if you're going to beat Alabama, you have to have talent that can beat their one-on-one corner coverage, and teams so far hasn't had that.
Were you surprised last week after Bryce went out about how run dominant or how much success they had in the run game against Arkansas? To this point, I think people would admit that this was more of a pass-first team. So, obviously, they had to go a different way with Bryce out. But the explosive plays in the run game, I think, probably surprised a lot of people against an Arkansas defense that we thought was pretty good.
Well, I mean, one of the runs was a pass that the quarterback, you know, pulled down, and Jalen's ability to beat a one-on-one spy tackler. I mean, if you're a defensive coordinator, a team is struggling on offense, and you dial up the perfect defense, and their guy's just better than your guy and goes 70-some yards. I think that really broke the back of Arkansas. Then after that, it just became a foot race. And you know, I'll tell you what, I don't think there's a back that I've seen in this conference for a long, long time like Gibbs. You know, he's you know, I mentioned Kenyon Drake during the broadcast, and he's got speed. He might even be a little more powerful. I'll be surprised if any. These might be the first two backs in college football that go into the draft, because they can bring so much to a team with speed and their ability to run inside and outside.
Gary Danielson joining us on the opening kickoff. Gary, I just want to move ahead. Next week you have Tennessee-Alabama 2:30 game. You've seen Tennessee.
Right.
They might have the best game on paper tomorrow, because it's the gap between them and LSU is very short. I think it's like 2 or 3 points. Are you hopping
right
aboard the Tennessee bandwagon yet, or is it way too soon?
Well, it's not too soon. I mean, they got a senior quarterback. They've got an offense that works. Josh Heupel brought a blueprint. It's a different blueprint, but it's a blueprint for success, just like Coach Saban brought to Alabama. The players believe in it. If you do it, it'll work. They're starting to upgrade their talent. I think it'll still be a challenge for them to play and win at LSU. Just that's the way this league is. But if they win that game, boy, this is going to be some game. And you know that's going to be the interesting part of what happens with Bryce here and Coach Saban's decisions. You don't hold the guy out that's able to play and save him for a game. I just don't think that Coach Saban's, personality. But watching what Tennessee does and the way they can score points, I think everybody in the Alabama, decision room, which starts with Coach Saban and the advice he gets, is going to know that that's going to be an explosive game 2 weeks from now. And I'm sure they want Bryce to play in that football game.